Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Gabrielle Manetti, who is the director of a new indie sci-fi feature called They Call Me Jeeg. It's available on iTunes and digitally everywhere on May 2nd. Welcome to the show, Gabrielle.
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Now, this movie is very, very compelling and cute and just heartwarming and heartbreaking all at the same time. And that, to me, is a delicious thing to see in an independent sci-fi movie.
Thank you for all these compliments. I mean, we tried our best to put a lot of things inside. And, you know, genre is just an instrument to tell a story. And this movie talks about a transformation, about a weak man and through a love story, basically. So that's why you're saying that it's sweet. So I'm happy about that. It meant that it worked for you.
Yes, it did. Now, to give everybody just the overview, we have our main character, Enzo, who is a small-time thief in the area around Rome, and he has an accident that gives him superpowers, just like everybody else in the Marvel and DC universe. And he doesn't choose to use his powers wisely at first, but the story of the movie is his journey, his growth, learning that maybe there's a reason he got these powers, and just his discovery of what he can do and the things that happened to him and the people around him that changed his mind about what to do was just the pacing of it intrigued me, because there was no rush to get to any big action scenes or any great displays of power. It's just a guy trying to keep on living his life after this thing has happened to him.
Yeah. I mean, it was a decision not to rush in that, because you lose the character in that way. You need to be immediately go into those fireworks of action, which sometimes there are smoke in the eyes of the audience, and they can't get emotional about what they're seeing, because they don't know the character. So it took time to understand this character and be more with him. And then you know, sometimes there are so many action scenes that they are just cool because the way they're filmed, but there's no drama behind the punch, behind the battle. And that's what we try to do. I mean, we try to build a strong character and make it empathize with the audience. And then when you go into action, you go into action with him because you want to be with him. You just don't want to see people just meshing their heads into each other because it's fun. Yeah, sometimes it's fun, but you know, you need to know why you're doing that. So it takes time. And we had a great lesson from Shyamalan Unbreakable. I mean, the movie was very inspiring for us. The way he deals with the powers, the times that it takes him to realize who he is. And it's so beautiful. I mean, and as I said, genre is an instrument. It's not the goal. No, the goal is the character and what he achieves and his arc and his transformation as a human being, you know, as a superhero. That comes later for me. I'm Italian, by the way. And for us, the imperative from great power comes great responsibility. For us, it doesn't make any sense. Seriously. So that was it. Also, we pushed this because we know that from great power, you need to use the power at a certain point of your life for good. And we wanted to boost that. So we gave the powers to this guy, which is a thief, that survives the world, and he comes from a bad neighborhood of Rome, and he hates everybody because he lost everybody. So he hates the world. He says, I hate everybody. So it's interesting how a character that conflicted is going to change, if he's going to change. And the relationship with the girl is the only possibility. So that's what happens. And by the way, I'm happy because I didn't portray the woman like a woman that is in crisis because she can't have a boyfriend superhero, because she can't lead like that. She actually does the opposite. She pushes him to do his best. You know, sometimes when you're with your friends, you're male, you always talk about women. They say, oh my God, they are always, you know, how do you say? I don't know how to say in English, but, you know, they're complaining all the times. And, you know, sometimes it's not like this. Women have a way to see things more than the men, and that's what she does for him. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm really fond also about the female character. She's not a bi-dimensional character. She's very important. Actually, everything turns around her in the movie. She's so important.
Mm-hmm. I liked how it was. She didn't think she needed to be rescued, but she pushed him to be the hero she wanted in her life to take the, you know, basically to be a hero, someone she could look up to, someone she could be proud of. And in the end, that's, you know, it was his choice whether to do that or not. And the fact that she was so adamant about, you know, you have to do what the hero would do. And it was all because of her faith, her belief in seeing that he had these powers, that he could do this with these powers, and her clinging onto that Japanese animation story so tightly. I thought the connection between those two was just endearing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Japanese animation is a big thing here in Italy. We grew up by watching TV animated series of Japan, because when we were coming back from school, we were in front of our TV from Monday to Friday for 3 hours watching animated Japanese TV. So for us, seriously, I'm not joking, for my generation, the one before me, the one after mine, when you try to see a superhero, I'm not talking about this one, of course, but mine, we wouldn't say, we would never say, who do you think you are, Superman? That's too obvious. We would go and say, who do you think you are? Jigrobo. Jigrobo is the animated cartoon which she uses as a filter from her to reality, because she had a tough life, and she needs this this cartoon to make it look a little bit better. So it's like, you know, you have those glasses that make you see things better, but she sees things more than everybody. So she sees Enzo, and she sees that he's an hero. But by calling him a hero, she relayed him to the hero of the cartoon of the 70s.
Well, myself, and I'm quite sure a lot of our listeners here can relate to the fact of rushing home from school to sit down and watch 2 hours of Japanese animation that was on the local channel, because I was one of those too.
So that's so nice. I mean, I mean, for us, seriously, I just, it made me so much sense when I grew up, I started watching also Asian cinema, and when Jigrobo, and when my movie was screened in Japan, everybody was understood it so well, and we had a great time together. It's going to be released in Japan on the 20th of May, and there are so many great reviews, and I'm so happy. I met the author of Jigrobo and Mazinga and Goldrake, which are his other mecha as Devilman, and he loved the movie so much, and I'm so happy. I was so nervous. I thought he might kill me because he was in the audience. And when the moderator asked the audience who wants to have a question, and he raised the hand and he said, "Oh man, I love this so much. Do you do a sequel or not?" And he was the author of the cartoon, so I was so happy.
Nice. So are there plans to continue making new chapters of Jigrobot's life?
Well, we wrote a story of a second movie, but I'm going to do something different. You know, I mean, you're used to sci-fi movies and superhero, of course, but in Italy, it's not like this. When I tried to make this movie, I was going to all producers and ask them to help me. They were saying the genre was dead. So we were only doing comedies, local comedies, and local cinema d'auteur, you know, the author's vision, and which basically are always social drama. No room for genre movies. And I made this, and it felt so fresh, and so I want to do something fresh. I think if I do the second episode of this thing, I'm gonna do the obvious thing, the easy thing. I try to do something different and bring something fresh. And then maybe in a year or so, if what we wrote about the second episode is still hot and we like it, we'll do it.
Well, I hope it is, because even though there's the superhero angle, this movie is very much a little bit of a crime thriller and a little bit of a personal drama story. So even I think it should satisfy both audiences, because the drama doesn't surround, it's not focused on the people with the powers. It's focused on how these relationships change these people and lead to the decisions they make. So I think you've got a very good chance of, hopefully, I'm just saying this selfishly for myself, of seeing, like, you know, more stories of Jeeg Robot and his adventures.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I never looked at it this angle, you know, because, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a drama, strong drama inside, but, you know, in this first movie, Enzo has a struggle very strong that he needs to overcome. So we will need to find another one for the second. Because my screenwriter always say, when I look at First Blood, Sylvester Stallone's movie, mm-hmm. that the first one is so beautiful and he's so conflicted. He's a veteran and he has all those issues and of post-war. But what happens in the second one is only the thing that he puts on his head, that red thing, you know, and his muscles. There's no conflict anymore. So we don't want to do that in the second episode. So we will need to find a strong drama again there. Otherwise, it's no sense. It's going to be just muscles and head bumps. And we don't want that. Because for us, we love so much the genre. But the genre is a system of codes and that shaped itself from the content. We need the content to shape it again. So we hope we're going to be able to do that again.
Excellent, excellent. So what are you working on now, or what will you be working on after all the promotion for Jeeg Robot is over?
We wrote a story, and now we wrote the first draft of the screenplay. We were writing it, it's not Jeeg Worlds, but it has some similarities, and it's just a great story that I'm not ready to share right now. But I'm happy. I think I'm gonna go into production at the end of this year, because for us in Italy, it's like 2 times budget of Jeeg Robot. So
okay, well.
That is still, of course.
Well, thank you very, very much for your time today, Gabriel.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right, the movie is They Call Me Jeeg, and it's available on iTunes and everywhere digital streaming May 2nd. We will have links to the appropriate places, and we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. That will do it for this episode. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Go ahead, leave a voicemail, ask a question, leave a comment. You can listen to the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, and on Krypton Radio. Feel free to subscribe at any of those places. You can leave a review for us over on iTunes and on Stitcher. So if you're enjoying what you're hearing, please let other people know that this might be something they'd enjoy too. Check us out on Twitter. It's at Slice of Sci-Fi. Check us out on Google+ and YouTube. We're Slice of Sci-Fi over there. And of course, the websites, sliceofscifi.com, writersafterdark.com, and yes, popculturegeeks.com. Thank you again for your patronage and your support. If you are not currently supporting the show and you want to chip in your nickels and dimes as well, the place to do that is over at Patreon, patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi. Thank you very much, because your pledges, your donations, keeps the websites online, keeps the media online, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you all. I'd also like to thank my friends in the geek rock band Sci-Fried for their music. If you like what they've done, check out their other music. Their website is sci-fried.com. And if you do pick up one of the free songs or buy one of their albums, tell them Summer sent ya. Oh, thank you very much for listening. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi, I hope next week, but I'm not sure. Either way, take care.